So using Magic, you can save your settings as a profile for an application. So say you like a certain setting for Outlook and another setting for Word. But when I save the profile, I don't like all the settings to be saved, like magnification level. I switch back and forth depending on what I'm working on. But as I go between the applications, the profile likes to go to whatever the magnification of the profile is set for. So the question is there a way to edit that profile to remove settings that you don't want to change between when you're switching between applications?
Yeah, I don't use Magic, so I don't really know the answer to that.
Yeah, I noticed that this coming Thursday, I guess the 18th, at the Apple Store on Boylston Street, they're basically having workshops devoted to accessibility all day. And I'm pretty new to a MacBook, and I was tempted. I don't know if anyone's any Mac users or Apple fans have been to any of these workshops at the Apple Store. Are they worthwhile? Is it they're one-hour sessions, it looks like.
Yeah, I've been to some of these workshops. I've sent my students actually to the workshop. Those are good workshops, but what they do is they meet, and they are divided up by what area of accessibility you're looking into. So if it's a voiceover or if it's a applications for the hard of hearing or things like that.
Sure.
But the person who will help you, they will customize of what your specific need is that day.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So if there are three people and they can come to an agreement, okay, these are topics you can talk about that hour, that kind of goes by the agenda generally, or you can talk in general.
Would they have the training in a separate room, or would they have that in the main room?
No, they just do it over the table, which is kind of a little bummer because, it's kind of noisy sometimes.
Yeah,
but many times it's okay, it's not a problem. I know in Cambridge side, I took some classes when I got my new MacBook Air. This is 3 years ago. It was very noisy.
I always found the acoustics being really, really bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's
quite crazy.
Is MacBooks, are they easy to use?
New ones, I'm not sure. The latest one, but the earlier ones, I like them because the new ones have these customizable F keys.
Touch bar.
Right, the touch bar.
Yeah.
That could cause issues even though they say it's accessible, but I'm not sure if it's usable.
Everything I've read says that you can't do anything with a touch bar that you can't do without it. It just gives you an alternate way of doing things. And I'm not sure that it's really a lot easier. The other thing I would point out about these, I've also attended workshops at the Apple Store, and they were great, but they were specifically designed with a group of blind people in mind. Some of us from Perkins went there. But I would say that if you don't have an Apple computer and have no plans to get one in the near future, one of those workshops would be just completely out of range for you. I can't imagine someone getting anything out of those workshops unless you really are closely attached to an Apple computer in some way.
There is a really good book that National Braille Press produces, Learning the Mac,
nice.
And I found that very helpful.
Is it by Janet Ingberg?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's a useful book. That I found very useful, even though I wish she would update somewhat, because that book is about 3 years old now. So
when I'm trying to save a file in Windows 10, there's no easy way to do it, and you have to pick from what folder you want to save it in. And a lot of the things say pin, like it'll say Dropbox pin or other things pin. What, anybody know what that means?
I think the pin is what it includes it in the list of favorite folders or something.
Yeah, that's the first thing that appears is in the save as box. It asks for a location, and it shows your most recent or your favorite locations. Then once you select that is where you get your traditional dialog box where you can put in the file name.
So what gets something pinned? Do you have to do some manual thing to pin it to one of the locations?
If you use the application key, then you can pin it to various things.
Oh, right. I've run across pin to taskbar.
Right.
Yeah, that I've done.
I was wondering if anybody's had a similar problem with, I come back to my computer an hour later and JAWS is not speaking anymore. It's happening with greater frequency now than it ever has.
What do you have to do to get it started again, Bob?
I pretty much have to reboot the computer.
I don't know if anybody else has thoughts on this, but one possibility is that your computer is going to sleep or hibernating or something. But I often find that JAWS will stop working momentarily, and then a minute or so later it will come back if I just let it sit there. And that happens more than it ever has before.
Have you you tried, Bob, just doing an Alt-Control-J to just try to run it, run JAWS again? That doesn't work?
I tried a few things. I tried to do an insert F4 to get rid of JAWS and then try turning it back on. I tried using Windows Narrator to see if I could get some voice that way. I did, it basically like freezes up. I believe there's something on the screen still, but I can't get any sound. Maybe it's a sound card problem. I don't know, but, and it's not a temporary thing, Jerry, like you've experienced, yeah. And I've experienced that too.
So I've had that happen frequently with Outlook or Office applications where Outlook will start to hang, but not quite fully.
Yeah.
But then JAWS would just stop talking to me. So I'm like, I know it's about to happen. So if I close Outlook quickly enough and then relaunch Outlook, that keeps JAWS from freezing up on me. So that hasn't happened in a couple months. So maybe the latest updates for Office could have corrected it.
I was in Outlook, then it stopped talking. And I was not knowing, I tried to start with the, window narrator, nothing was picking up. And I cannot close the Outlook, I don't know where exactly I am at that time. I tried all type of other things. So what I do, I put the Alt-Control-J, and my JAWS started again. Oh. But this JAWS, Alt-Control-J, I had 15, JAWS 15, that start working. I again go to the desktop, started my JAWS, go to that my icon JAWS 17, which I had the latest one. Then I close JAWS 15 and come to desktop and start the JAWS again and start working good.
Yeah, what you want to do, Vinod, is you want to go in and make sure that your Alt-Control-J is linked to your JAWS 17.
I was forgetting how to do this one, so I was realizing yesterday I have to do it.
Yeah, because I don't think that shortcut is automatically set up anymore.
No.
It isn't. One lesson I learned is you got to have two versions of JAWS on your desktop. So I have 18 and 17. Mm-hmm. I have Alt-Control-J runs 18 and Alt-Control-K runs 17. Because sometimes if the latest version conks out, you can start the older version and maybe that'll run. Because when I switch between windows, like Alt-Tab or something, sometimes I hear task switching. That's one of those Windows utility programs that you're frankly not supposed to see because like so instantaneous, like in the background. If you're seeing it, it's because something is hanging up. And what I'm finding, for example, when I'm in Word, if I try to do Alt-E or Alt-F to get the menus don't open. And my roommate is telling me there's that spinning ball, like it's processing and it's looking for the menus and looking and they don't open. While that's happening, JAWS isn't doing anything. After so many attempts, it will quit and then JAWS will come back.